Welcome to the City Park Church Podcast. We are changing the culture of the city through the message of hope. Please share at cityparkchurch.com how God has touched your life through our messages. Thank you for listening.
Really? Unbelievable. Awesome. Well, we want to welcome everybody. Happy Valentine's Day. Thank you, honey. Beautiful red dress you have on today. Hallelujah. Sexy. All right. Red dress. Yeah. All right. Youth group this Wednesday night, a men's breakfast next Saturday. So come out to that. The children's ministry seminar, if you work in the children's ministry, write that down on the 27th from 9 to 1. And the next step class, if you're looking for that, I know some are, it's March 6th. And then we're looking towards Easter. And we really got to ramp up the candy thing, you guys. Okay. We got three things in there given by the Trombi family. So come on. We don't have that many weeks left. Last year we had another whole month, so start getting some candy together so that we don't have to go out and spend a whole bunch of money on that. We have tons of stuff in our basement from last year as far as making Easter baskets, tons of stuff that we bought 90% off. So we're going to have a great giveaway and a great time. And then the Watoto Children's Choir coming that Sunday before. And they will transform this stage, and it'll be a great time. And then that night, we're going to make the Easter baskets and fill the eggs, okay? That way, you guys can have all of spring break off and look forward towards that weekend. All right, we're going to get right into the Word this morning. And I want to continue on the voice, and we'll just forget the intro, but because I'm ready to go. I haven't preached for 2 weeks, you know. Brandon did a great job last week, so awesome. And it fit in so well. Actually, he preached that message last week to the youth weeks ago. And that's how the Lord just spoke and said, I want you to do a series on the voice of God and hearing the voice of God. The thing that I'm trying to communicate, because it's my job to communicate so that you're able to grasp, divulge, and take from here and implement into your life. Because it's the doer of the word that's blessed. And it's my job to help you to see if it's just one thing that you can, that one takeaway that you can leave here and you can implement in your life. And, you know, in talking with people that don't know Christ and don't have any spiritual background or spiritual knowledge, it's really interesting their perspective towards God and spiritual things. And if you've realized it's very difficult to speak to somebody who isn't spiritual who doesn't know God about spiritual things. You know, you try to explain to them certain things, why you do what you do, you know, what church is all about, what my job is as a pastor, and, you know, just trying to explain to them the reason why we do what we do, the reason why we come together every week. And I was explaining to a friend of mine that it's my job to teach the word of God line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little, so that the congregation is able to take that word and implement it in their lives. And growing up spiritually is likened to growing up physically. You have the baby stage, the adolescent stage, the teenager stage, and then adulthood. It's the same way spiritually. We grow up the same way. When I got born again, I was a baby in Christ. The goal is for me to not remain as a baby, as some do. They come to church for a few years or even a few months, and then they just bail on church and bail on God, and they remain in that infancy stage of their spiritual growth. It's my goal to go to the next level, to go to that adolescent level, to begin to grow up, to begin to understand basics, foundations of faith. Your kids right now downstairs are being taught foundations of faith, and they'll be taught on one subject for 8 weeks. So they may be taught on the subject of prayer for 8 weeks. Then they may be taught on the subject of faith for 8 weeks, or the Holy Spirit for eight weeks. And we have a 2-year rotating curriculum. So 2 years from now, they'll come back and start teaching on the same exact thing, realizing that repetition is so important as far as learning. And they're not even going to remember 2 years ago that you taught on the same subject. They'll never come up to you and say, hey, we learned this before. People don't do that. As a matter of fact, I've taught on many of the same series in the past 14 years. I just changed the title. No one's ever said, hey, you taught on that before. No one has ever said that in 14 years. A lot of times because it's different every time. You know, there's a different group, a different congregation, and the Holy Spirit wants to speak different things. But then again, we learn through repetition. I don't know about you, but I don't ever get it the first time. Is anybody like supernatural, spiritual, crazy? You always get it the first time. And you take the whole word and you're like 100% full on all week. I'm going to do everything that Pastor Bob said. Come on now, don't be lying to me now. I know that's not true. It's you grab something, you implement something, and you see if it works. We test God. Hey, let's see if this works. Okay, God? And God basically says, hey, prove me. Test me. Go out and do this. And what happens is, as you begin to do, he begins to show up, and you begin to gain more confidence in him. You begin to gain more confidence in hearing his voice, in implementing his will in your life. And Christianity gets exciting because you realize, hey, God is alive. The word is alive. It's not just another book that I can get at Borders or on Amazon. The word of God is alive, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's able to divide between the soul and the spirit, right? It's able to guide us and direct us. We know that the word is profitable for the will of God in our lives. So it's exciting. We are here today to hear God's voice. We're here to learn how to be led by the Spirit. We're here to learn how to live out the will of God for each of our individual lives successfully. God wants that for us. We are not moved as Christians by circumstances, situations, or emotions. Although we are emotional beings, I understand spirit, soul, and body, but we're not led by our feelings. We're not led by our emotions. When I first got born again, I was excited. That whole, anybody go through the honeymoon period? When I first got born again, I was feeling it for like a year. I was like, Jesus, you couldn't keep my mouth shut about Jesus. My mom, you know, she was kind of fed up with hearing the name of Jesus, you know, in our house. I witnessed every single person I could find. I was like on this spiritual high, you know, and then all of a sudden attack comes. You know, the devil comes after you because he wants to shut you down. He wants you to shut your mouth, basically. And emotional things start happening. Financial challenges start happening. And then if we're not careful, we can start to fall into the realm of feelings instead of walking in the spirit and allow our emotions to take over. Allow our emotions to direct us. Maturity in Christ is this. No matter how I feel, no matter what I see, we just sang about, no matter how I feel, no matter what I see, I am committed to serve God because I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he loves me, that he is a good God, and that he is for me and not against me. Well, how do I know that? Because I read the book. Because I read his words. And so, if you look at the word good, because I want to focus on the word good. Being led by the Spirit is hearing the voice of good, because he's a good God. He's not just a shepherd. The Bible says he's a good shepherd. It's not just news. It's good news. You weren't just created to do works. You were created to do, come on, good works. He did not just begin a work in you. He began a good work in you. And he said that he will complete it until the end. He'll help you complete it. It's not just a fight that you're in. It is a good fight. It's the good fight of faith. Come on, somebody be shouting this morning, because I'm excited about this. Hallelujah. He is a good God. As a matter of fact, if you look in the NIV, 610 times the word good is used in the Old and New Testament. In the Old Testament, the word good is used 372 times. In the New Testament, 228 times. The word good. And so, when I was a teenager, you know, anybody ever go to dances? Come on now. You can admit that you dance. It's okay. As a matter of fact, maybe you should go take some dance lessons, couples, right? I've actually thought about that. We need to take dance lessons. Salsa, yeah, absolutely. And, you know, when you like someone, you don't necessarily have the guts when you're young to go talk to them. You'll talk to everybody else, but it's amazing, like in college, you know, you go down to the cafeteria, you'll sit with everybody else, but it's that girl at the next table you wouldn't even dare go talk to. You are attracted at a distance. Who do you talk to about that girl? Your friends, yep. You're like, hey, so-and-so's over there sitting by herself. You know? And, you know, and you're attracted to her looks and dress nice, smells good, if you can get close enough, right? pretty shape, pretty body. Then you see her at the gym, right? And you think she works out. Wow, nice. And then all of a sudden, you get enough guts up to go say hi. Because you don't really know her. You just know her or him at a distance. You don't have any knowledge of that person at all except for hearsay or the gossip that you've heard about. You know them at a distance. You don't know where they're from. You don't know their background. You don't know their family. You don't know anything about them. You try to find out as much as you can. Now in the days of computers, you can find out a lot on social media, right? You stalk them on Facebook, right? Find out. And then when you hit the about button, you realize that they're a private person because there's nothing on there about them. It's like, dang, they didn't put nothing on there. I know nothing about them, you know? But then you look at all their pictures, you know, find out who their friends are. Are they single or are they dating, right? And so all of a sudden, then you go, get enough guts up and you go and talk to them. You say, hi, I'm Bob. Hopefully, they say, yeah, I know. If they say, oh, nice to meet you, and give you the cold shoulder, you know, your whole emotions kind of like collapse, and you're like, ah. So you try to drum up a conversation. She's friendly. You eventually sit down, and you begin talking. Now, one or two things is going to happen. You're going to begin to see, either as she speaks, that she is the most incredibly beautiful person, not only on the outside, but on the inside as well. As she begins to converse and share and talk about her life, and as you begin to get to know her, you're just falling in love more and more. Or on the other side, you realize that she is the dumbest person you have ever met. Anybody out there? And you are like, oh my gosh. Gotta go. So nice to see you. And you walk away hurriedly. And then every time on campus, I went to college, right? You see them at a distance. What do? Beeline it around the other side of the building so that you do not have to face them on campus or talk to them again. Right? Are you out there? Come on. You guys, I know you're just laughing at me. You're laughing at yourself because it's true. To everyone in here, it's true. But you begin to get to know them by the words that they say, by their stories, by their background, how they grew up, their family, their experiences, what they like to do, the interests that they're involved in. If they said, I love skiing, we automatically have a connection, you know? Because skiing is way more important than education, right? Hallelujah. That was a joke, all right? There's a t-shirt with that on there, yeah. See, too many people claim to know God and claim to follow God, but they've never even sat down and spoke with him. They've never even cracked the Bible to read his words speaking to us. And people make judgments of who God is at a distance across the table. They may have been to church a few times. And even if they went to church, was the word of God actually even taught? Or was some kind of philosophical, high intellectual message taught which nobody understood or could grasp? God wants us to know him. And the way that we get to know him is by going to this incredible, alive book called Jesus Christ. Because the Word is Christ and Christ is the Word. And when we read the Word, it is God speaking to us. We get to know him better. Every single time we hear a message preached or we crack open the Bible every day, God is speaking to us personally. God gave us this book so we would not have to guess who he is. He revealed himself through Jesus. What did Jesus speak? He only spoke the words of the Father. So how do we get to know God? We study the words of Jesus. He only did what the Father told him to do, and he only said what the Father told him to say. The purpose is Jesus came to reveal God the Father in heaven and who he was and his character so that you would fall in love with him and have a relationship with him. That was the whole purpose, to reconnect the people that God created with the Creator in intimate, personal relationship. When you receive Christ, we say this all the time, as your personal Lord and Savior. Hallelujah. It's exciting. The more we get to know him, the more we understand the voice of the Spirit. The more we recognize that what is going on the inside of us concerning that inner witness, it agrees with the written word, and we know that it's God leading and guiding us. That inner sense, that inner voice, even that audible voice at times, number one, 100% needs to agree with the written word. The Spirit and the Word always agree. Always agree. You can't come up to me and say, God told me I'm going to marry so-and-so. I said, oh, great. But he's married. I don't think that's God. I don't think that's God. All of our leadings, all of our inner witnesses, all of our perceptions have to line up with what's revealed to us in the holy written word. The two will always agree. Amen? It's like a movie star. In that movie, you connect with somebody, a certain character, and you connect with them. And every time you see them after the movie being interviewed, you think of that person as that character because that's how you know them, right? Until they open their mouth. And then you realize the part that they played is not who they are. And during the interview, it can really disappoint you because you had a love for that character, but it wasn't the real them. And then you see him in another movie that is completely against the first movie concerning philosophy or you know, belief or mode, and you have to almost reintroduce yourself to that character because your perception of them is the last movie you saw about them. It's interesting. In the movie, they appeared intelligent. And during the interview, have you ever noticed this, that they just appeared dumber than dumb could be? I'm thinking, how in the world did they ever get the part for that movie? But then you realize they just basically had lines and they were good at it. And in person, they need help. Has that ever happened to you? Or they're so self-absorbed and rude. And in the movie, they were kind and gentle and loving. And as you watch the interview, you're just on the inside, you're just totally kind of, ugh, I don't think I like them anymore. Yeah, I don't want to go see any more of their movies. You know, one major trait of God today that I want to hit home that I believe is really 100% responsible for your success, your prosperity, and your forward motion is the one thing that I want to talk about this morning. One thing that we have to realize as far as God is leading us, 100% of the time, God wants forward motion. God is always progressing, moving forward. God will always prompt you to do more. He doesn't want you to sit around and play video games, right? All day. Nothing wrong with playing video games, but he doesn't want you to waste a lot of time because he knows the time is short. And he needs the whole army doing what they're supposed to be doing. It's always moving forward. There's always something to look forward to. God is always out there prompting you to take a risk, to see more, to do more, and to expand your thinking, expand your soul. Always forward motion. God is for your success. He's for your prosperity. He's for your growth, spirit, soul, and body. He wants you to progress forward. He, according to Romans chapter 8, says he's for you and not against you. God is not against you. God is not the manipulator of earthly circumstances to try to teach you like a puppet. God doesn't do that. You are not a marionette puppet controlled by the strings of God in heaven. God gave us a free will to decide. We can decide to engage in his forward motion, to engage in the next step that he wants us to go towards. Or we can decide to say, enough, I'm done, sit down, and surrender. On the other hand, the devil does have strings attached if you allow him. He will control you like a marionette puppet if you allow him. He is the God of this world. God is not in charge of this world. When you pledge your allegiance to Christ, you are no longer under the control of demons and hell. You are now under the control of the Spirit. But it's a daily choice that we make to wake up and to allow his word to be first place in our lives and to say, Lord, you are in control. Lord, today I follow your prompting and your leading. I know your voice, and the voice of a stranger I do not know and I will not follow. Those who don't know Christ are controlled by demonic forces whether they know it or not. Emotional control is so easy for the devil to manipulate when people are led by their feelings and their emotions. Feelings can literally come not just from the inside out, they can come from the outside in the form of fiery darts. And that's what the devil is doing continually to the world. He is shooting fiery darts at the souls and the emotions and the minds of people to control them, to get them to do what he wants them to do. We break that control, we break that authority over us when we pledge our allegiance to Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. He is my Lord. I pledge my allegiance to him. Amen? And I'm going to purpose to follow him. All authority has been given to me now as his child on this earth and as his representative. Amen? I can resist the devil and he will flee from me as I submit myself to God and his will for my life. Amen? Devil, you no longer have control over me. You have no control over my family. You have no control over my finances. You have no control over my mind and my will and my emotions. As a matter of fact, I tell myself how to feel. I control how I feel. When negative things come up and emotional attack comes, I immediately recognize that attack as a demonic attack on my life. And I say to myself, I refuse to feel this way. I command my feelings to line up with God's word. I refuse to allow these emotions to control me. I refuse to allow this anger to overtake me. You guys out there? That's where the battle is. The battle is in the mind, the battle is in the soul, the battle is in the emotions, and it's a battle for your mind. It's a battle for your soul. That's why we need to conform our mind and our soul daily to God's word. Implement, put, God's word in your heart. Get up in the morning, read his word. Get your mind focused on the word. If your mind is focused on the word, it's focused on the spirit, and you will be led to success that day. The devil is the manipulator of circumstances, trying to get you to think it's God when it's not at all. We are not led by circumstances. So important. So important. I continually want to hit home because people are so led by circumstances. Well, perhaps God is doing this to teach me a lesson. And God is manipulating this situation to get me to go this way. God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. God doesn't do that. Are you out there? That would be an unjust father. That would be a deceptive father. We know God's not deceptive. God does not manipulate circumstances. Now, circumstances come because we live in a world controlled by demonic forces. Yet we're spirit-filled Christians. We can discern the circumstance whether we need to follow that path or not. The open opportunity doesn't necessarily mean it's a God opportunity. How do we know? We pray, we sense on the inside, we get peace about it to walk through that opportunity and to take that opportunity and to grab it as a God thing, as a God thing. Invariably, we've all been involved in circumstances where we ended up there and we're like, how did I get here? You know, we've made mistakes, we followed the wrong path. Now, God can work everything out for your good because he is with you. In a wrong path taken, he can inadvertently take you down the right path and get you on the right place supernaturally back on track again. God can do those kind of things because he's for you and not against you. He sees when things are going wrong. He sees when bad decisions are being made. And God is already... He already has a plan to get you out of the wrong path you decided onto the right path. He's already providing other opportunities and trying to speak to you to make a decision to get back on the right track. His grace and his mercy are so sufficient. Amen? How many of us, we've done really dumb things, and by the grace of God, God just delivered them out of it. We've made dumb decisions. We've done stupid things. We were addicted to the wrong things. We had all these wrong things going on in our lives. But we exist today and we're here today because of the grace of God and the mercy of God. God's like, hey, okay, let's get past this. Forgive yourself and get back on the right track. Here you go. Boom. Follow this path. Go this way. I'm going to get you on the right track. Hallelujah. Amen. I know probably when Joseph got thrown in the well, it was probably not God's perfect will. I really believe that God could have got Joseph as the second in charge of Egypt another way. Are you out there? Somehow another way. But here we have this evil thing happen. Joseph was a proud brother. He was a little bit arrogant. His arrogance gets him thrown into a well and gets him sold as a slave to Egypt. It's a great story. I don't think it was God's perfect will to throw him in a well, do you? God's like, I'm just going to throw him in this well. Ha, 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 ha. We'll get him where he needs to be. I think if Joseph actually was more humble and more kind and more loving, that God could have got him as the second in charge of Egypt a different way. But because of his arrogance and his self-righteousness, he put himself in that well. You ever think about that? The great thing about it is God's got plan B, C, D, E, F, G. No matter how many times you fail, God's got so many different alternatives. Aren't you glad? Come on, you guys can say amen because I've been in the same boat. I'm thinking God's got me here. If I could write a book, it would be a couple thousand pages of all the stupid things Bob Trombley did, right? In order to get me here in this place, in God's will today. So here's the deal. When we make a decision, I'm going to get to some scripture here soon, all right? When we make a decision, it should always be a decision for greater freedom. Greater freedom. So here's the opportunities. You're praying about the opportunities. Which one of these opportunities is going to be for greater freedom? God always wants us to progress forward to greater freedom. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. The thing is, we don't know all the truth. The more truth you know, the more free you become. You can hear the truth but not know the truth. So God, I want to know more truth. God, today I want to leave here knowing more truth. Thank you, Lord, to help me to hear your voice and to follow that inner witness more successfully. I don't want to make any crazy more mistakes. I want to do exactly what you want me to do on this earth. I want to do it successfully. I want to progress forward. The thing that we really got to come to the conclusion is this, that God is a good God. Good, 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 good. He's a good God. And everything that he wants to do in your life is good, 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 good. God doesn't have a big hose in heaven waiting to spank you. Bam. It's not who he is. Let's look. I'm going to share a bunch of scriptures, then we'll close today, about the goodness of God. About the goodness of God. Okay? God's going to lead you for good. God wants you to prosper good. God wants you to be good and blessed. God wants you to be good and healthy. Hallelujah. And every decision you need to know is about the goodness of God in your life. He is a good, good Father. Luke chapter 4, verse 18. Look at here, the mission statement of Jesus. He got up and he read the scripture in Isaiah, and he said this, "The Spirit of the Lord is on me, because he has anointed me to proclaim the news to the poor." The what? The what? Come on, I got to hear it on the count of three. One, two, three. When I say one, two, three, I want you to shout the word good. One, two, three.
Good.
One, two, three.
Good.
He brought me here. He anointed me to proclaim the good news. You know, the Spirit of the Lord is doing that with us as well. The Spirit of the Lord comes upon us to do what? Same as Jesus. To preach and proclaim the good news. One, two, three.
Good.
One, two, three.
Good.
He has sent me. Look what he sent Jesus to do. Sent me to proclaim freedom for the prisoners. Freedom. More freedom. And recovery of sight to the blind, and to set the oppressed free. To proclaim the good news to the poor. Not just poor financially, poor spiritually, poor soulically, poor relationally. Good news. There's deliverance. Matthew chapter 7, verse 11. Here's again what Jesus said. Remember, he only spoke what the Father told him to speak. He was revealing the goodness of God, because at this point in civilization, the goodness of God was not preached. It was not talked about, even though Jesus quoted a scripture there in the Old Testament. It was not talked about. God was taught as a controlling, manipulative, judgmental, going to send you to hell and the fire of hell if you make a mistake and don't follow the rules of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Jesus said this, "If you, Pharisees, though you are evil," he calls them evil to their face, "know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give gifts?" What kind of gifts? What kind of gifts? What kind of gifts? Good gifts. Oh, yeah. I said good gifts to those who ask him. Have you asked him for some good gifts lately? The reason why we don't ask is because we don't understand the goodness and the generosity of God. Ask, 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 and good gifts will come. And keep asking, and make a list, and check it twice, and hang it up on your refrigerator, and ask him. Because he's the Father and the giver of good gifts. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 10. Here we go. We're moving now. Woo! Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. This is who Jesus was, who was also the Father, said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and power, and how he went around doing, and healing all who were under the power of the devil because God was with him. He's a good father, and he wants to heal all. How come I'm still sick? Well, get a revelation of his goodness. Get a revelation of his goodness. He wants to heal all. He has healed all. All. Good. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8 and verse 28, Paul wrote, "And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose." How many know God is working for you? God is working for you right now as you sit here. He is working things out. Just begin to thank him right here, right now. Lord, thank you. Thank you for working things out for me. Thank you, Lord. You're working out this business. You're working out, God, my relationships. You're working out my checkbook. You're working out my healing. I thank you, Lord. You are working behind the scenes for me. You are working out good things for me. You are my good Father. Hallelujah. And the decisions that I'm being prompted, Lord, I thank you. It's towards your goodness, God. Because your goodness and mercy, your heart is to see me blessed. I am blessed because of your goodness. Hallelujah. Come on, you out there this morning. I'm building your faith up this morning. You're going to leave here singing about the good Father. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Here's what Paul told the Corinthians. A bunch of carnal, fleshly Christians trying to serve God. Seriously, that's who the Corinthians were. It says, "And God, you Corinthians, is able to bless you abundantly." Abundantly, so that in all things, listen, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. This is the heart of the Father revealed to us right here. Look it. This is who God is. He wants to bless you abundantly. He wants you to live on Abundant Avenue. Hallelujah. He wants to rid your mind of your poverty mentality. Your barely get along, I don't have enough mentality. Start to change your thinking about who God is and what he personally wants to do for your bottom line. He wants to bless you abundantly, provide for you abundantly, so that, look at this, in all things at all times. Hey, you want to go out to eat after church? I don't have any money. All things, all times. All things, all times. Can you say amen? That's who God is. He is looking for forward motion. Right now you're renting. Guess what? God's already working for you about purchasing. If you want. If you're fine with renting, it's fine. But if you've got that in your heart already, someday I'm going to own a house. That's God in there. Because God's always progressing you forward. Boom. My wife always says to me, "I want another house." I'm like, "No, I don't want another house. First of all, I don't want to move." Right? But she usually is way ahead with God than I am. Do you ever notice that women are that way? Can you say amen? She's always got the word ahead of me. It's like being a senior pastor from being a children's pastor. She already knew that someday we were going to be senior pastors, probably years before I knew. And she knew that she couldn't tell me because I had to find out for myself. You guys out there? She just knew God had to speak to me as well. Amen? Progressing forward. Moving forward. Forward motion. That's who God is. Forward motion. Sure, there are some setbacks. Sure, there are some bad decisions. Sure, we open the door for the devil to attack sometimes. But then you just say, "Devil, in Jesus' name, you got me there. I lost that battle, but I'm not going to lose the war. I'm moving forward. I'm progressing forward. I see increase. Amen. I see prosperity. I see that I've got all that I need. I have more than I need so that I'm able to give and be a blessing to so many people. More than I need, more than I need, more than I need. So that in all things, whenever a missionary comes, in all things, I can just give. Hallelujah. I can sow. I can be a generous person. I got so much. So much, I just don't know what to do with it. Are you out there? See, some of you, even though before you ever get there, you just need to start speaking like this. Start talking over your finances because you get what you say. Talk to your checkbook. Every time you write it out and you don't have enough, you say, thank you, Lord. You are the God who is more than enough. Hallelujah. In all things, at all times, I got everything that I will ever need or want. I thank you. I serve the God of abundance. And I'm speaking over it. God wants me to prosper. God wants me to move forward. Everything I put my hand to is blessed. I'm a blessed person because he's a good God. Good, good Father. Good, good God. Forward motion. I see the future. I refuse to live on barely get along Boulevard. Are you there? We're going to get rid of that poverty mentality because I serve a Father who owns everything. And I'm his child. I'm going to abound in every good work. Do you know that every good work takes money? God called you to be a missionary. Guess what? If it's in Africa, it's going to cost you $2,500 to get there. Not including the money it's going to take stay in a hotel or whatever it takes to be a missionary. You know, short-term missions for that month. Abounding in every good work. When God says go, I'm going to go. Because I got it. Amen? Hallelujah. Philippians, we got a couple more scriptures, then we're going to go home. Then your husband's going to take you out to dinner. Okay, Philippians chapter 1. And all the single people, actually, maybe some single guys that are friends could actually take some single ladies out. Are you out there? Hello? With no romantic involvement at all, okay? Just as friendship, maybe guys should actually take some girls out. Maybe plant some seeds for the future relationship that God has for you. Hallelujah? Come on. Are you out there? Thank you, Jesus. Given it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. I'm doing good today. Thank you. Hallelujah. Okay, Philippians chapter 1. Paul said to the Philippians, he said, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Jesus Christ. The work he began in you is a good work. What kind of work is it?
Good.
It's not a bad work. It's a? Because he's a what kind of father?
Good
father. It's a good work. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13 says this. For it is God who works in you to will and to act in order to fulfill his good purpose. Everything about God is good. Well, why is God allowing wars to happen? Guess what? God has nothing to do with the wars on this earth. It's not God. God does not allow them to happen because he's not in charge. If God was in charge of this earth, he is doing a very poor job. He's not in charge. There is a demon and a devil and Satan himself. And all of the things going on the earth lead up to his mission statement to steal, to kill, and ultimately destroy. And fourthly, send them to hell. But Jesus. Look at Jesus' brother James. He had a revelation. All of the New Testament writers had revelation. Now, when James, the brother of Jesus, has this kind of revelation about his brother, you know it's God. Are you out there? How many of your siblings would call you good? Hello. It says this, James said this, every good and perfect gift is from above. Coming down. Listen, this is a great revelation. Coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change with shifting shadows. Hallelujah. Does not change. God has feelings, but his feelings don't affect who he is and what he does. Do we disappoint God? Sure. Does he have feelings of sadness? I bet. Does he have feelings of disappointment? Sure. Does that affect what he does? No. Because God is a good God. God is a man of his word, and he will always follow through with his word when we act on his word. He is a good, good God. So you think to yourself, well, how many times, Pastor Bob, have I disappointed God, and you're in this rut and this guilt and this shame thing, and you have not gone to ask the good Father for any good things for a long time because of your guilt and shame? Your guilt and shame was taken care of on the cross. Your guilt and shame was taken care of by Jesus. You need to get over your past. At some point in your life, you have to stop allowing your past to affect your future. Amen. You need to go to him boldly by the blood of Jesus that has taken away all of your sins and covers all of your mistakes, and go boldly before his throne of grace to ask in the time of need. And ask and ask and ask, and don't be ashamed to ask, because Jesus took care of your sin. He no longer remembers it. It is far driven away from you as the east is from the west into the sea of forgetfulness. It is not there anymore. And when you go up and you go before God with your guilt and shame, and you say, Lord, I know that I failed. He's going to say, what failure? Because he's already forgotten it. The reason why we get stuck is the devil lies to you, thinking, look what you've done. How dare you ask God for another thing? And right there, he stops you from progressing forward. Because in order to progress forward, you have got to ask. And you've got to have him on your side. Last one, 3 John 2. 3 John 2 is this. John said this, dear friend, I pray that you may enjoy health, good health. See, healing is not God's best. Good health is God's best. Health, 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 health. Amen? Health, health, health. And that all may go well with you, even as your soul is getting along well. Good health, and that all goes well. All goes well. All, this is who God is. The next time you're praying about something, the next time you have a decision to make, ask the band, come on up. The next time you are seeking God's will in a situation. You know, one of the best ways, beside number one, getting in God's word and getting agreement from God's word. The Bible says, let every word be established in the mouth of two or three witnesses. So it's not just finding one obscure scripture. You know what I mean? People find one obscure scripture and they want to build a doctrine out of it. The Bible says two or three. I think it's more 4, 5, 6. If you really want something solid from God, just make sure it's a major theme in the word. Because the devil can quote scripture. He can use it against you like he used it against Jesus. And so it's important that when you're praying about something, the question you got to ask is this. Is this decision for my life, is there greater peace? Is there greater peace? Secondly, do you sense the goodness of God in this situation? Thirdly, one of the greatest ways to divide between the spirit and the soul is to pray in other tongues. Praying in the spirit helps to quiet your mind down and to focus on the inside, to hear the voice of the Lord in a greater way. Think about Paul. Paul, who wrote the majority of the New Testament, said this, I pray in tongues more than you all. Why was he so successful? One of the reasons is because of that. Why did he hear the voice of God to write the letters that he did? Because of his prayer language. He was able, in the midst of a jail cell where most of us would be depressed, feeling guilty and shameful, and not want to be productive, in the midst of a jail cell, because of his praying in the Spirit, he was able to control his anger and his emotions and begin to hear the voice of God and begin to write what God was speaking to him from heaven. If Paul could do that in jail, what excuse do we have when circumstances and stress come upon our lives? We're not in jail. We can put ourselves in an emotional jail and allow that prison to take us over. But we've got to realize feelings are not what we're led by, and I refuse to be led by how I feel. Sometimes our decision goes completely opposite against how we feel. Up here, you're feeling out of your soul. Down here, God is saying, go in, go, 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 move forward, move forward. And everything in your mind, because we sometimes just live in that unrenewed realm, is fear and doubt. You can have doubt in your head and faith in your heart and hear from God. You hear me? You can, the attack can be blaring upside in your head, but you know that you know down here, this is what you're supposed to do, and this is the decision you're supposed to make. Because you know the scripture, you've confirmed it. Perhaps you've confirmed it with a friend. Perhaps there was a prophetic word. How many know all prophetic words are a confirmation of what God has already told you? When somebody gives you a prophecy, it shouldn't be something new. It's like, oh, I didn't know that. Most prophetic words are going to be a confirmation. And many times when we're making tough decisions, that prophetic word helps us to understand the will of God, because the battle is raging and we can't quiet down our mind ourselves. Confirmation. And God will do those kind of things in the midst of difficult decisions. Here's the thing. We're going to sing the song, Good, Good Father, and we're going to leave. Do you know that it's possible for you to wake up every day and successfully follow God 100% every day? Do you know that it's possible for you to wake up and actually you learn to follow God over the years, and it becomes more natural than supernatural as you follow him? It becomes something that you just do every day. The voice of your spirit becomes so strong on the inside, you just have that inner sense everywhere that you go. Everywhere you go. You automatically just kind of check down there. Okay. Sense that. And it becomes something like riding a bike. It becomes something you just get good at. Some of you haven't gone on a bike for years. If you've already ridden a bike, you could literally get on it and you could ride it again because you did it before. It's just something that's in you, something you get good at. And 100% of the time, we can get to the place where we are absolutely following God's will wherever we go. It becomes fun. It's like, ooh, can't wait to get up and see what God's saying today. What you got for me today, Jesus? Who you want me to love on today? Who do you want me to give some money to today? Woo! Hallelujah. Who do you want me to talk to today? Opportunities exist in Christ. Divine connections. Financial connections. Dreams fulfilled. God is working on your behalf behind the scenes to lead and guide you to success so you can progress forward. Always forward motion. Always.